In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Clare of Assisi. She is the foundress of the Second Order of St. Francis. And our Holy Mother, the Church, presents us in the epistle today this canticle, this mystical love between the soul that God has created and God. And many have been scandalized, especially the Protestants, by this canticle of canticles, the Song of Songs, because it speaks so physically of human love. But it is meant as a mystical interpretation of our love for God and God's love for us. And the time has truly come for us to answer that call of this divine lover who came to this earth, sacrificed everything, left it all in heaven to come to this earth to be with us. For this is the greatest act of love, to give of himself completely to us. And what does such love demand of us? But simply that we reciprocate, that we love as we have been loved. And so often we look at the religious life and we hear of how hard it is, of the terrible sacrifices that are made. I look at the life of St. Clare of Assisi, the daughter of a very wealthy man who had the finest in clothing and jewelry. Her father sought for her hand so that she could marry well. She could live in relative comfort, relative ease. But yet, St. Francis preached and she heard his words, and she decided to sacrifice all of that. But it wasn't St. Francis that preached to the heart of St. Clare. Yes, the words came forth from the mouth of St. Francis when she heard him preach. But as every one of the saints would tell you with St. Paul, it is not I. It wasn't the words of St. Francis that converted Clare. It wasn't his words that suggested that she renounce her heritage, that she take off the finest clothes, that she go and have her hair cut off by St. Francis, and she put on a poor garment and live in poverty, seclusion. It wasn't St. Francis that convinced her to do all of this. It was the voice of Christ. It was God who was calling her. It was the Holy Ghost that inspired her. It was love. And the God of love is the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Ghost that spoke to her heart and soul and inspired her to make this tremendous sacrifice, this tremendous gift. For she was truly a lover answering the call of love. And we often fail to understand this. We read the lives of the saints and we hear of their sacrifices that they made. How awful. We hear of how terrible it is to submit to holy obedience, to live in poverty. And we often think to ourselves, I could never do that. I could never make such a sacrifice of my wealth or of my free will in holy obedience. I can't do that. And I think, as my mother used to say, and many wise men, can't is the lazy boys, I don't want to. If you say you can't, you're right, because you won't even try. You haven't even put forth an effort, and you've already determined your result is going to be in failure. I say you can't because you haven't loved. For if you truly love, As so many, even worldly poets will tell you, if you truly love, you're able to cross mountains and oceans. There's nothing that can stop you from drawing nearer to your loved one. Not fire, not storm, not oceans, not mountains. For the one who is truly in love will go forth and slay dragons, will face fiery beasts and consider it all as nothing. It was all worth the price to obtain his beloved. And this is what has motivated so many saints. This is what has motivated their great sacrifice. And I say what they have done, every one of us can do. St. Augustine, before his conversion, he cried and he prayed to God, why can't I do what these others have done? I see these men who hear the gospel preached and they leave everything and go live the religious life. Why can't I do that? And in his confessions, he kind of leaves us hanging because he doesn't directly answer it, but indirectly, I believe he suggests to us he couldn't do it. Well, first of all, because he didn't have the grace, but he didn't have the grace because he did not yet love. He wanted it. He wanted to be able to do this, but he was unable because love was not there. And it is truly love that makes us able to sacrifice. It is love that makes us able to give of all that we have. It was love that convinced this poor Claire of Assisi, who was actually quite wealthy, to turn her back upon wealth. It was love that convinced her to cut off her beautiful hair and put on a veil. It was love that convinced her to lock herself up in a convent, hidden from the world, and impose upon herself and her fellow sisters, her religious sisters, some really austere penances and mortification. It was love that inspired her to hear the Gospels, to hear sermons, and to hear things spoken of God, because she was so much in love with God. And yet people find the Gospels, the Scriptures, so dry, so boring. Why? I say it is simply because we have not yet loved. We have not yet learned to love as we have been loved by Christ. We have not yet truly considered his love for us and the sacrifice that he made for us. And so we're unable to forget ourselves and reciprocate that love. And generally, one of the first things that is going to hold us back is our false concept of prudence. And so our Holy Mother, the Church, has presented us in today's Gospel with the parable of the 10 virgins. Virginity is good, it is holy, they're doing well. But five of them are wise and five are foolish. The five wise ones took oil for their lamps. The five foolish ones did not take any extra oil. They ran out of oil. And so the prudent thing is that we should have extra. And yet so many of us want to be prudent. We're going to prepare for that rainy day as we're so wisely pointed out to us, as so prudently pointed out to us. We must store up for tomorrow. We must prepare against some misfortune in the future. And all of that is well and good. But our Lord also reminds us not to hoard, not to be avaricious, not to build up too much, not to depend too much on the things of this world, And he gives us the example of the rich man whose barns were full and his fields when crops were coming in. He ran out of room to store the crops. And his dilemma is, where is he going to store it? He tells us this man was a fool. For he tore down his barns, he built bigger, filled up his barns, sat back and said, now I can relax. Now I can take my ease. For I have grain stored up for many years to come. And our Lord says he was a fool. The world would say he was very prudent. It is prudent that we take enough for the immediate need, that we prepare for tomorrow. But we can't really prepare for the week or the month or the year. We must depend upon God. And our Lord says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and its justice, and it shall be given to you. But I believe this is only something we can understand when we love Christ. And we look at the lives of the saints and we hear of all their wonderful deeds, their great love for God, and we tend to forget that they were human. We forget that humans all have faults and failings and difficulties. And I want to relate to you something that came to mind about the life of St. Clare. After she had entered the convent and had drawn around her several sisters, it was the custom of St. Francis to visit them periodically and speak to them of Christ, speak to them of the love of God. And St. Francis became a little concerned because he began to feel that St. Clare and the other sisters there were more concerned with seeing St. Francis rather than hearing of Christ. They wanted to hear Francis speak, not Christ speak. And St. Francis did not want to come between these virgins dedicated to Christ and Christ. That's not what he intended at all. And so one day he tells St. Clare that he's not coming back to preach to her and the sisters. They have grown too fond of him personally. And she says, but you speak only of Christ. We only talk about God. We go over the Gospels. And he says, no, no. I can't any longer. You're too attached to me and not to Christ. You need to depend more upon Christ. And with a broken heart, St. Clare says to St. Francis, very well then, if you expect the sisters and I to stay alive spiritually without any spiritual food, then we shall also stay alive physically without any physical food. We don't need to feed our souls, we obviously don't need to feed our bodies. And St. Francis knew St. Clare well enough to know that she was serious, because he had to reprimand her many times for her austere penances. He had to restrain her so that she would not go overboard. He had to be a little prudent with her enthusiasm, with her love. And so St. Francis had to relent. And he had to return to his custom of preaching to the poor ladies of Assisi, to these followers of St. Clare. She won, you might say, her way by threatening a hunger protest. But it was truly the love of God, her desire to draw closer to God, to know more about God. It was this love that caused her to bargain, you might say, with Saint Francis. It was her love that brought her to make these sacrifices. It was her love that was willing to face any physical difficulties, hardship, even to go on an absolute fast and have her sisters follow her. It was love. Perhaps it was not prudent, and Saint Francis would argue that it was not. But it is to be admired. It is to be truly appreciated. And we are to be inspired by it. Perhaps not to imitate it exactly, but to follow it in spirit. And to tell you that Saint Francis was not without his own faults, his own imprudence, if you will. Even on his deathbed, Saint Francis of Assisi makes a public apology to his physical body for the abuses that he has heaped upon it, for the scourgings, for the fasting and the night watches, and that he had failed in keeping the fifth commandment, which demands that he take care of the health and the body that Christ has given him. And so we have to balance, you might say, our burning fervor, this burning love, this willingness to sacrifice it all for Christ. We have to balance that with the prudence of maintaining and caring for this life that God has given us. These gifts that God has placed in our hands are precious gifts, and they're not to be wasted. They're not to be despised. They're not to be hated. But they should be appreciated in the right context, in the right place, as coming to us from the hands of this lover who has given everything to us. And truly, I think the prudent thing is to follow what our Lord said. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and its justice, and everything else will be given you besides. Take care of your soul first. Feed your soul first, and then feed your body. And this, I believe, is exactly what St. Clare was suggesting to St. Francis when she says, if you expect us to live without spiritual food, surely we can live without material food. And I wish to ask you all to pray for vocations, to pray for those who will love God, for those who will become like the lover in the Canticle of Canticles, who hears the calling of Christ, who hears the calling of this lover, who's hidden in the tree, in the wall, behind the cleft, but they know he's there. To know this spiritual lover is always there calling, and to hear that call, and to come to him and say, here I am, Lord. I am yours. I give myself completely to you, as you have given yourself completely to me. As you have loved me, I wish to love you. As you have sacrificed for me, allow me to sacrifice for you. And of course, this Canticle of Canticles, this beautiful love song, takes place in spring, the time, as it says, of pruning, the time of cutting back, a time of sacrifice. For the vine, the fruit tree, to produce anything of value, it must be pruned. The excess must be cut away, So the energy, the sap, the vital energy is concentrated in producing fruit rather than more branches and leaves and stems and vine. And so it is with the lover. When we hear the call of Christ, the dove in the cleft calling to us, we answer. We answer by pruning, cutting off something from this world, making a sacrifice so that we can concentrate our energy, concentrate our efforts on one thing in particular, the love of Christ, producing fruit for Christ, giving our heart back to God, giving our heart to the lover who has loved us so much. But again, to try and balance things out, to try and keep this status of prudence. If you've ever pruned a tree, it is a very delicate matter. If you don't prune enough, you don't obtain the fruit that you desire, or the quality or the quantity of fruit. If you prune too much, you stress the tree and you don't produce the fruit, and you can even kill it. You can kill the vine. You can kill the fruit tree by pruning too much. And in springtime, when the time of pruning is at hand, it takes a wise hand with those shears to know how much to cut, and not too little, not too much. The same is true in the spiritual life. We can't be too eager for the love of Christ that we kill the body. For that is not true love either. For that begins to despise the gift of the lover. So we have to strive for this balance, to prune away the world, to cut off our attachments to this material realm, just enough so that the fruit of love, this spiritual food, can develop, can increase, and can produce what it has been designed to produce. And this especially must take place in the hearts and souls of religious, of those Franciscans, of the three orders. But I suggest that it applies to every one of us. Every soul that God has created, He has called to love Him. He has commanded to love Him. And so none of us have an excuse for not hearing the call of the lover, of not responding to the call of that lover. None of us have an excuse not to prune away some of our attachment to this world. Or if we are truly prudent, we keep just enough oil in our lamp that will carry us through the moment. We don't need to buy a tanker load of oil for our lamps. We just need enough to take us through the night until the dawn. And then we can acquire more oil that day for the following evening. That is all we truly need. And the same applies to our food, to our clothing, to our shelter, to all the things of this world. This is what the religious espouse. This is what they vow. This is what they promise. This is what they seek. To live from day to day, especially in the Franciscan order, as mendicants. Not storing up for tomorrow, but just enough for the day. Give us this day our Lord. You recall the Our Father. We ask our Lord, not for our weekly or monthly or yearly bread, but every day we ask, give us this day our daily bread. Give us what we need for today. When the Israelites went out into the desert and they were hungry and God rained manna down from heaven, they were only allowed to take enough manna that they needed for the day. And they had to trust in God that the manna would rain from the heaven again tomorrow to feed them tomorrow. Anything extra that they gathered up and tried to store, God made sure that it would grow foul before the next day. They were unable to eat anything stored away. The only exception was on Friday, the day before the Sabbath, they could gather twice as much because they weren't allowed to labor on the Sabbath. And so on Friday, they were able to gather up twice as much and store something for the Sabbath. But that was all. That is what prudence, balanced with love, with fervor, accomplishes within us. And so I ask you once again, pray for religious vocations. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for yourself. Seek to develop within your own heart and soul this love for God, the answer to his call, for he has truly called every one of us. Benedictio Dei omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.